Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's April the 5th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. And then we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator, located in Lexington. In agricultural news, energy experts say if ethanol is to continue growing as an industry, the 10% blend has to go. They want that blend to be kicked up a notch. Bam! Can you say E20 or E30? And Monsanto says its profits are way up. That's thanks to the triple stack. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour each and every day, we always talk to an agricultural meteorologist. Peter Levitt will join us this afternoon to take a look at the complete agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Would you like to TiVo our agricultural broadcasts? You can do so with AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts. Listen to all our shows at your convenience. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the red podcast link in the right navigation window. Follow the simple instructions and subscribe to the shows of your choice, the pre-opening, opening, and closing market reports, and Commodity Week. AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts. It's your marketing advantage.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting regional sales manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat at $4.45, up 13 and three quarters. July futures at $4.58.5, up 12 and a half cents. And September's at $4.69.5, were up a dozen even for the day. Corn futures finished the May contract at $3.66, a settlement price there, up 6 3/4. July futures at $3.78 a bushel, 6 1/2 cents higher. And December futures at $3.86 3/4. Up 6 1/4. May beans were off a half today at $7.60 1/2. July futures at $7.77 1/4. They were down a half, and the noves were off a half as well at $8.04 3/4 for the harvest month. Once again, the November soybeans down 1/2 cent today. Bean meal futures at $2.13 even, down 20 cents. Bean oil futures up 15 at $32.42. And over at the Mercantile Exchange, feeder cattle finished the day like this. 111.12 1/2, up 32 1/2 cents in the April contract. April live cattle up $1.40 at $100.45. And the June futures at $96.32 1/2, were up 77 1/2 for the day. April lean hogs 20 cents lower at $65.17 1/2. The outside markets trading the crude oil down 15 cents out at this hour in the May contract at $64.23 a barrel. The CRB index at 317.33 is up 61, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,565, and that's just about 35 points higher for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On Thursdays, Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois, joins us to take a look at what's been happening at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Well, the last time we spoke with you was not last week on the day before the USDA reports, but the week before that, and you said you'd go on vacation, and that meant that the market was going to break and that it might break hard. Congratulations. You picked that one out, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm back at work, and we're going higher. How about that?
Well, as long as you stay at work, farmers will be happy, I suppose. The question is, do you think it's going to continue to go higher other than just today?
It's all about wheat. Wheat is the commodity now, I think, that has to take over leadership and pull corn out of the hole, or pull it out of the doldrums anyway, of last week's large acres report. If you notice today, if you look at the charts, wheat did come back. We did post a weekly reversal up for the week on wheat, and since we made a lower low there on April 1st on Tuesday, we went underneath the March low. We've got the makings here of a monthly reversal up in wheat, and of course, you know, the driving force of wheat the last couple of days has been this cold weather forecast that's coming at us here over the weekend, and whether or not and how much damage it could do to the winter wheat crop. And so we'll have to kind of go through the weekend, see what happens. But I think, you know, if the wheat crop now is getting smaller, then that sets or that lays the groundwork then for wheat to go into a counter-seasonal climb higher into harvest. Because right in here is when the seasonal pressures to move down are fairly strong, because it won't be too long you'll be starting to harvest some wheat down in southern Texas, and that wheat harvest just kind of moves rapidly forward, you know, in a month or so. So I think it's all going to be wheat, and it's probably dependent upon how cold and how much damage we do on this cold wave or this cold snap that comes at us. And like I said, if you can start shortening up the wheat crop, then you begin to talk about less wheat feeding and more corn feeding, and all of a sudden then the corn market is in a little better fundamental situation.
Do you not also start talking about wheat that gets torn up at that point and corn planted?
Well, that's going to be tricky. You don't want it to, it's kind of one of these situations, if you want to be bullish corn,
you
want it to do about 25% damage. You want to do it enough damage that farmers don't tear it up out west and plant corn, but damaged enough to shorten up the wheat crop. So it's probably going to be a fine-tooth situation. But I think that's where the action's at, basically, if you're going to pull corn out of the doldrums. And see, you could see that being reflected with new crop corn actually closing higher here for the week. It's only a penny or two higher, but it did close higher for the week. So that begins to look ahead toward next year's supply-demand tightening or balance sheets more so than the old crop months here, which, you know, we've got another 3 months or 4 months of the marketing year.
Yeah, I think I looked at it and it was up three and a quarter or something like that on the December contract for the wheat.
Which is kind of a miracle in one sense, given the sting the market got there last Friday.
Indeed, and the nearby months were down, just about 8 cents was all for the week, which didn't seem terribly bad given the drop that you had Friday and Monday. And
no, but we're a ways off our high. And, I mean, I just looked at the December corn chart, and it kind of looked to me like we're about in the midpoint of last week's high and this week's low. So we do have a pretty wide two-week range there. And the market, since it did come back and close a few cents higher for the week, we're basically at the midpoint of the two-week range.
So what are the technical possibilities when you just look at that chart? You've got the Head and Shoulders Top, an Island Top, what kinds of things?
Well,
you
I think
happening?
You got to say the Head and Shoulders Top probably completed its first downside price objective. It's kind of met that. I haven't had time to draw any exact lines, but just glancing at it kind of would say that we probably met that downside price objective.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm in the camp that you look at last week's report numbers, and the reaction to it is that that was probably the largest visualized corn crop you're going to see, with the 90.5 million planting and people talking about 152 or 153 bushel trend line yield. That's, I think, the biggest of the crop you're going to see. From that point forward, I think it gets smaller. I think the market's already beginning to reflect probably a smaller planting. And then, you know, depending upon, you know, what happens here over the next couple of weeks. But we're not off to a very good start. I mean, if the weather guys are right and we get a good rain here next week, all of a sudden it's going to be April 15th and not a lot of corn, if any corn, is being planted in the main Midwest growing region. And I think in order to get 90 million acres planted in a timely manner, and have a trend line yield prospects, you're going to have over half the crop planted by May 1. And I, you know, that the jury's still out on that. I know guys can plant a corn very quickly nowadays, but so far we're kind of off to kind of one of those rocky starts after having probably three real good early type springs. We did have some problems here a couple, 3 years ago with cold weather, but it was mostly dry. We've had some pretty good planting pace. This year kind of looks like maybe might be one of those years that's going to bring the averages more in line.
So if we have wheat that gets hurt by the cold weather in the next couple of days to the point that it doesn't get torn up and it continues to maybe make a run higher counter-seasonally into July, that'll pull the corn higher. But what happens with the soybean side of the marketplace?
Well, the soybeans will still stay positive because you may increase the acres a little bit from USDA's projection, but you're not going to significantly increase them, and all this, you know, you're still, the soybean market is probably still in a situation where it may need to rally next fall to encourage South American acres. So, I mean, there's reasons here that you could argue it, you know, I don't want to get too far out on this thin ice, but I do think one can kind of walk on this thin ice of maybe this thing regrouping and going again yet this growing season, that that it ain't totally a goodbye or a cub season, that we've seen the high already for the year and we'll have to wait till next year. But I do think there's reason to think that this market might be able to regroup, get back on a little solid footing, and at least maybe offer some better pricing opportunities than one probably would have thought last Friday.
And do you think when you just go back and historically look that the drop in the marketplace for the corn just hasn't been long enough, steep enough, sharp enough yet to really contend that this is kind of the way down? I mean, if you look back over time, it seems to me that when you look at the charts, you build, and then you just sort of drop out of bed. Now, that might take some time on the monthly charts, I suppose, but it sure doesn't look like it's happening yet. Is that the case?
I'm not really too sure what you're asking.
Well, if you go back and you look at the charts and you watch the ups, the moves higher, they're much slower than the drops on the backside.
Right.
But this one doesn't look like it's dropped enough yet, potentially, if this is the place at which it wants to finally drop. It looked that, and I guess the question is there enough room here that you think there may be another good leg up in the marketplace?
Well, I think there's reason to believe that there could be enough for a solid recovery rally. Now, and that's about all the further I want to go at that, and I suppose people can read in between the lines on that.
Okay.
But there's no doubt we tore up the technical picture over the last week with this crop report on corn. But, you know, so what? Now, the thing is as long as it can kind of rebuild itself, and get back into position, then, you know, we can resume an uptrend. Now, whether or not we go up through the highs that we had here in February, then that's probably another story. That's going to depend upon probably what summer weather is going to be like. But I do think that I can, you know, the way I draw some trend lines and some channel lines and that, I think as long as corn kind of holds this week's lows, I think it can be put back on track in a sideways to higher mode. Or at least give us a little better selling opportunity than what we thought we were going to have here a week ago. So, no, I would not rule out actually the decline that we had off of last week's report as bear trap. I think it does look like, as far as wheat goes, by the wheat market having able to close out higher for the week and reverse up, you could almost say that this decline that we saw last Friday and Monday and Tuesday was a bear trap in the wheat market, and that could very well end up, if that's a bear trap in the wheat market, it could very well end up being a bear trap here in the corn market, and it just gives you the momentum to go on up through the highs, because after this last decline, you've even weakened the bulls. I mean, the bulls have weak knees now, and probably a lot of the bulls don't have any money left. That 2-day decline probably took them apart. So everybody's going to be much more cautious now from the bull side. And remember, bull markets climb the wall of worry.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely got one now.
You betcha. Hey, one more question before I let you go. When you're scheduled to go on vacation again?
Into May.
Okay.
Well, that's when the next lows do.
We kind of need change. We need to know when that's going to happen so we can have the right
position.
Yeah,
my daughter's going to graduate from high school down in Texas, so we're planning on taking that last week of May off. So get ready for a big May low and get that bought for the summer rally. How about that?
All right. Thanks, Dan. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Dan Zwicker is with AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Thursday afternoon. Time now to take a quick look at what's happening in the weather with our own Ed Kieser's forecast. He says a hard freeze is expected across all of Illinois and Indiana during the next four nights through Sunday night into Monday morning. The National Weather Service has issued various freeze warnings and freeze watches covering much of the two-state area. Tonight, Ed says, in northern and east-central Indiana, mostly cloudy, some scattered flurries. Elsewhere, partly sunny. Lows will range from 17 in northwestern Illinois to 27 in the south. Tomorrow, in northern Indiana, cloudy, some scattered snow showers. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy with scattered flurries. High, says Ed, from 32 in northern Illinois to 46 in the far south. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take a complete look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on WILL AM 580.
In agricultural news, energy experts testifying at a Senate Agriculture Subcommittee field hearing yesterday say boosting ethanol production above the 10% blend is key to continued growth in the alternative fuels industry. More than 200 people gathered for the field hearing at South Dakota State University. Don Endres, chairman of one of the nation's largest ethanol production companies, testified that ethanol needs to grow from an additive into a true alternative. Endres says the EPA, with a stroke of a pen, could approve E20 or E30 blends, which would stimulate additional demand. Governmental officials in South Korea are indicating that South Korea may adjust its import rules on beef by the end of the year, and perhaps as early as October. Senate Finance Chairman Max Baucus and ranking Republican Charles Grassley say they will hold up a free trade deal between the U.S. and South Korea until the beef trade issue is favorably resolved. The agreement must be approved by the Senate Finance Committee before moving to the full Senate for a vote. Meanwhile, agricultural trade groups continue to react favorably to a U.S.-South Korea deal if the beef trade issue is resolved. National Corn Growers Association President Ken McCauley says a deal will mean U.S. DDGs could have a new home.
Korea, they're our seventh largest trading partner. In 2006, they did $72 billion worth of two-way trade goods. So it's one of our larger corn markets. So we have to be happy. It's good for our producers. They're a very good prospect for a lot of our DDG market. We think that's a real frontier, and we know we're going to have more DDGs in the near future. But tariffs are a big deal. Anytime we can get into another country with less tariff, we need to be happy about that.
And USDA Undersecretary Mark Keenum says corn is not the only beneficiary.
This free trade agreement with Korea will provide immediately $1.9 billion worth of agricultural exports to Korea will be duty-free. Wheat, corn, soybeans for crushing, hides and skins, cotton, a wide range of high-value agriculture products such as almonds, pistachios, wine, raisins, grape juice, grapefruit, fresh cherries, frozen French fries, frozen orange juice concentrate.
It's unclear whether South Korea will formally propose to the U.S. opening of its beef market by the end of the year, but Washington Insider reports virtually every member of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees oppose a U.S.-South Korea free trade deal unless the beef issue is resolved. Monsanto says second quarter profits were 23% higher than a year ago. Monsanto cited demand for higher-yielding and triple-stack corn seed for the increase. Monsanto expects Roundup-ready corn seeds will be planted on about 50 million U.S. acres this spring. Shares of Monsanto stock hit a 52-week high yesterday, trading at $59.66. Meanwhile, the National Black Farmers Association is calling on its 66,000 members to launch a nationwide boycott of Monsanto to protest a proposed $1.5 billion merger between Monsanto and Delta and Pine Land Company. Delta and Pine is the largest cottonseed company in the country. The organization says the merger would reduce competition and crush small farmers. And the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has extended the deadline for receiving public comments on its ruling that milk and meat from some cloned animals are safe to eat. The previous deadline was April 2nd, but it will now continue through May 3rd. The agency says the extension will allow interested parties additional time to submit comments. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, Dave, thanks much. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. By the way, we'll record that program this evening because the trade is closed on Friday, Good Friday tomorrow. So we'll record Commodity Week tonight at 4:30 and post it to the website at willag.org. That's willag.org by about 6 o'clock. You don't have to wait until 11:30 a.m. on Saturday mornings to hear that program. If you have broadband access to the internet, it's really easy to pick up Commodity Week right there off our website at willag.org. Of course, if you have signed up for the podcast, it'll be delivered to your computer just as soon as we're done with the program. It's all right there at willag.org this week on the program. Of course, we'll take up the cold weather. Mark Russo, meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy, is our guest on Commodity Week.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
On this Thursday afternoon, Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing in Lexington, Illinois, joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Did you get all that down so that at the end of the May we're ready to take a position in the marketplace when Zwicker goes on vacation?
Yeah, I didn't know it was quite that easy, just knowing when he's going to be going on vacation.
Well, if it's that easy, then yeah. He probably wouldn't still be working, telling us how that thing's going. So maybe it's not quite that easy, but nonetheless, we need to talk about the marketplace and how things have been happening in your area. I doubt that much has been happening in the field because it's been pretty wet. Did they manage to get in and get in any anhydrous on or hear about anybody planting up in the Bloomington, Lexington area?
This area up here, just really not much of anything's happened. We got a pretty good rain through there the end of last week. I guess it was Saturday probably that we got rain again. And with this cold weather, everybody's just locked in the sheds and waiting for the weather to break again here, I think. I have heard of some customers, in some areas south of Champaign, over down towards the Springfield area and south, that have put on some anhydrous and stuff, but I can't confirm any planting that's going on, and they're probably glad they haven't.
Indeed, that's probably the case. I saw a bit of a note about anhydrous and early nitrogen application to soft red winter wheat, and this might have been one of the years that didn't really pay, simply because it greened up so fast. Have you talked to many customers that have much wheat and are concerned at this point?
We don't have a lot, but there's still some concern out there in some areas. I think there's more concern now with this cold weather again than there has been, but we're probably not this cold snap that's going through here now. It sounds like to me the western belt is probably, in some of those Oklahoma and that, where it's been warmer longer, is probably where most of
You bet. Tell me about the cash grain market in your area.
Well, really, with the market down earlier in the week, we saw the basis come back some on the corn. We've seen anywhere in the processors from 0.02 to 3 cents. Maybe some of the Southwest market's gone up into the 3 and 4 cent levels better from compared to a week ago. Just really not much moving out there. The new crop basis continues to be pretty poor. And on the soybeans over the last week, we've seen pretty much unchanged, but if anything, there's a few processors that maybe improved to, 1 to 2 cents over the week.
You expect after the planters start to move, the basis will begin to tighten up?
Well, I think, as you know, I expected it to start moving probably a little bit sooner than it has. But, yeah, I think the further we go, I think we'll see the basis continue to come in some. I guess, as we talked about a week ago, I don't know that I see this demand falling off. We got a USDA report on Tuesday there, and to see where they come out with their carryout numbers, I think that's kind of important to get people lined up. One thing we kind of forget sometimes is we're using about a billion bushels of corn a month here in this market, so although we may have surpluses now, they can get used up pretty quickly.
It doesn't take long to turn through them. How are your bids for the day?
Cash corn tonight, 341, beans, 720.
We appreciate it.
Thanks, Don.
Yep, Bill Maris with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Thursday afternoons. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt about the agricultural weather forecast. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Governor Rob Blagojevich has added a last-minute stop in Champaign as he wraps up a statewide bus tour to promote his tax and budget proposal. The governor is scheduled to make a stop at Christie Clinic at Windsor at Mattis at 3:30. He also plans an originally scheduled stop in Danville early this evening. The governor has been trying to sell Illinoisans on a proposal to expand health care for the uninsured and boost education funding through a tax plan that includes a new gross receipts tax on businesses. It's gotten a highly negative reply from business groups in the state, as well as skepticism from several key Democrats. The final version of Indiana's state budget is likely to be written in an end-of-session conference committee. Republicans in the state Senate endorsed a $26 billion spending plan today. It's likely to be approved by the GOP majority Senate, but the Democratic majority House has passed its own budget plan. A Central Illinois boy who disappeared 2 years ago has been found safe in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Police say 6-year-old Jonathan Smalley of Peoria was living with his grandmother in Tulsa when a neighbor recognized their faces on a flyer mailed by the Center for Missing and Exploited Children. The grandmother's been arrested on an Illinois warrant. Two government bodies have now used an expedited way of taking over property for public use. The Savoy Village Board has voted to acquire lots near the future I-57 interchange with Curtis Road. Earlier this week, the city of Champaign voted to use the same procedure, which allows governments to take over land by eminent domain and settle on a fair price in court with the current owners. Champaign County is also investigating the procedure for land in the same area. A garage belonging to the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District may one day double as a temporary hospital if disaster strikes the area. The MTD has signed an agreement with Carl Foundation Hospital, which has a mobile surge unit designed to turn a building into a makeshift hospital for up to 500 patients in the event of a large-scale emergency. Carl also has agreements with the University of Illinois to furnish hospital sites in case the main Urbana hospital can't handle an influx of patients. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. We're joined on this Thursday by Peter Levitt to take a look at the weather forecast across the Midwest and around the globe. We'll stick with the Midwest and the West today and talk about the cold weather. Tell me about it, Peter. How cold is it going to be and for how long?
Yes, good afternoon, Todd. Yes, it will be cold. As a matter of fact, the temperatures will approach record low proportions for the date in parts of the Central Plains and even in some of the Midwestern stations. We've got a very cold air mass headed southward from central Canada into the upper Midwest. The system will move southward and then slip eastward as well. Cold air coming across Iowa and Illinois tomorrow night, and then tomorrow night, Saturday morning, we're looking for temperatures in the local area there, the broadcast area, being getting into the teens, actually, into the upper to teens there in Champaign. And across most of central and even parts of southern Illinois temperatures, mostly in the upper teens to low to mid-20s, a really hard freeze for the area. That will be for Friday night, Saturday morning, and then a repeat performance on Sunday as it clears out with some cold weather. We'll see some flurries during the day, I think, on Saturday, but Saturday night and Sunday, I think we'll clear out and see similar temperatures then. So a very cold spell, temperatures averaging 20 to 25 degrees below normal. This following at a very mild March, the latter part of March, so the difference is going to be very substantial. And some of the crops which have gotten a little ahead of themselves, especially in southern ends of the state and then down through the northern delta region, I'm talking now winter wheat crops, are vulnerable to temperatures as cold. We expect to see low to mid-20s all the way down through northeastern Arkansas and parts of western Tennessee. One final area, and maybe the most important for agriculture, in the central plains from Kansas on southward, the wheat is well advanced this year from normal because of some very warm temperatures, again, this prior month, and adequate moisture. And now we're going to see temperatures getting into the teens, we think, from north central Kansas right down into extreme north central Oklahoma and back westward and almost to the Colorado border. In parts of this area, the wheat crop is already in boot stage, and even some awns are starting to show, which means they're very vulnerable to temperatures below the mid-20s, and these cold temperatures could very likely do significant damage. I just want to point out that the official forecast there for low temperatures is in the low 20s. That's bad enough, but my feeling is they'll make it into the teens with this extraordinarily cold air mass.
Pete, we appreciate you being with us.
My pleasure.
Meteorologist Pete Levitt, you've been listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. This is AM 580.